We continue with our reading of the Passion story, beginning here in midweek for week two. Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not know now, but after these things you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. You are clean, but not all of you." He knew who was to betray him. That was why he said not everyone was clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me the Master and the Lord, and it is good you say this, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The scripture must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Already now I tell you that one of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." Here ends tonight's reading of the Passion story. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the meditation tonight is really twofold. First of all, John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, and it reads as follows. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, this disciple took her into his own home." The other text that I want to focus on tonight is recorded in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads as follows. "For God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us." I'm kind of old, and I've been around for a while. And there was a song many years ago called "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." How many of you remember that song? Right? Kind of a country song. I can't remember who sang it. But as I look at our culture, oftentimes people are looking for the love of God in all the wrong places. And it kind of goes like this. "Well, I got a new job today. God must really love me." But what if that person loses his job? Does God's love cease? Or a person might say, "Well, I've had really good health. God must really love me because look at how healthy I am. Look at how things are falling into place. Look, I haven't gotten sick
for 2 years. God must love me. But then what happens if that person gets sick? Has God's love faded? Has God's love quit? Or what about the person that says, you know, I really believe that God loves me because all my relationships are sound. My marriage is good. My kids have turned out right. Everybody's doing well. Everybody's healthy. God's love is truly being shown upon my life. But then what happens when a relationship breaks down? Or one of the kids get a divorce? Or something happens in a relationship with someone that's close to you and it's fractured and broken because of an offense that's given? Can we say that God's love has quit? And some people might say, well, I know that God loves me because I'm so obedient. Look at how obedient I am. I mean, I've earned God's love because I'm so obedient. I keep the commandments. I love my neighbor. I love my wife. I'm sacrificial in my life. Look at all the things I'm doing for God. And as a result of that, I know that God loves me. But what happens if that same person falls flat on his face and breaks the promises that he's made to God and disobeys his word? Can we say, well, I guess God's love has stopped and faded and quit and is gone? Do you know what happens when people do this? They're looking for the love of God in all wrong places. And many preachers I've heard on the radio and on TV today point to these things and say, God's favor is upon you, and all you need to do is work harder and do the right thing and avoid the wrong thing, and God's favor will be upon you, and his love and his mercy will be there for you, because in a way, they never say this, but in a way, you've earned it. So many people in our culture today are looking for love, you say it, in all the wrong places. That brings us to our text tonight, the second one I read, which for many of us is one of the most powerful words in all of Scripture. It goes like this: God demonstrated his own love for us in this. Now, a lot of people in our culture fill in the blanks. God's love for us is demonstrated in this: I got a new job, or my relationships are good, or I got a raise, or I got material possessions, or everything in my life is good, I'm not getting sick. God's love is demonstrated in my life because all these things are falling into place. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's not where the love of God is found. And you and I know that. We're Lutherans. We get it. We hear the proclamation of the gospel every week. And as a result of that, we know where the love of God is found. Amen?
Amen.
For God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. If you went up and down the streets of Fort Lupton and you called people sinners, a lot of people wouldn't like to hear that, because they equate the word sin with, you know, Capitol Hill rapist or something that's heinous or horrible crime or somebody taking someone else's life. That's sin. But don't call me a sinner. We are sinners. We have broken God's law. We have missed the mark. We have not loved our Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We fall incredibly short of the standard of God's word. When we compare our life to the commandments of God, it's kind of like me looking at myself in the mirror when I get up in the morning. I do not look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, I look good. I don't say that. My hair is going every which way. There's junk in my eye. My breath could stop a truck. I don't look at myself and say, hey, I look really good. No. You know what? We look at the law of God, which is an SOS. It shows our sin. And it shows our depravity, and it shows our weaknesses, and it shows our transgressions. And we realize, oh my goodness, I am not what I should be. I have not obeyed God's word. I have fallen short. I am a sinner through and through. I want to ask you, which person do you agree with? The publican or the Pharisee in that parable? The Pharisee said, God, I thank you And sometimes we hear this in our culture. I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers. I especially thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I earn back to you, oh God. Look at how great I am. Hooray for me. Or are we like the publican that says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's us. That's who we are. This is why we need a Savior. This is why Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, afraid, weak, sinful, transgression-oriented, while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. This is where the love of God is found. He was wounded, namely Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace was placed upon him. And through his death on the cross, we have spiritual life. Christ died once for all, the just one for we who are unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. He was wounded for our sins and raised again for our justification. And as a result of this, I can tell you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that every sin of your life was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. And your sin, though our sins be as scarlet, they're as white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions from his memory. He's drowned them in the sea of his forgetfulness. Your sins are forgiven. And not only that, you have the assurance that when you take your last breath on this side of heaven, the next breath will be in the presence of God. You have eternal life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by faith in him. The Holy Spirit has produced faith in your hearts to repent of your sin and to put your trust in Jesus. And when things in your life are falling apart at the seams, when you don't get the promotion, when a kid is wayward, when you're diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, when things are not going well, when relationships are fractured and broken, when a material possession does not come your way, when you play the lottery and you didn't win it, you know what you can say? I have Christ. I'm loved by God. God's love was demonstrated for me in that Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save all those who are lost. Who was lost? I was. Who died for me? Christ did. And because of that, you're united with God. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. St. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God is found through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, as a result of that, we manifest, display, and carry out love for other people. Because we've been loved by God, we love one another. Because we've been pardoned by God, we forgive one another. Because God's grace has been bestowed upon us, we bestow grace upon other people. And so, how do we show the love that we've received from God in Christ Jesus? I'm using three different phrases, and I want you to, you don't have to write it down, but just remember these three. Okay, grace, and forgiven. That's how I memorize sermons, by the way. Okay, grace, forgiven. Would you say that with me? Okay, grace, and forgiven. This is how we demonstrate the love of God to other people, to make sure that people around us, especially the people that are very close to us, are okay. You're probably thinking, well, where does that come from the Bible? Did Jesus ever demonstrate that? Did you hear the text? Here Jesus is carrying the weight of the world's sins. He's died for our transgressions. He's been mocked and scourged and beaten, abused and ridiculed and rejected. He's experiencing the wrath of God in our behalf. But he is so other-centered, thinking about what God has dispatched upon him and carrying the world's sins, thinking about us that he's dying for us, but even thinking about his mom. And in the midst of the pain, excruciating pain and suffering that he's experiencing on that cross, he looks down at his mom, he looks at his dear friend John, and he says, John, take care of mom. Mom, are you going to be okay? Did you hear that? Mom, are you going to be okay? John, take care of my mom. Jesus is giving us a clinic of how we care for one another, checking in on that wayward son, making sure your wife or your husband is okay, giving a call to that grandkid you haven't seen for a while and making sure they're okay. Jesus gives us a clinic of what it means to check up on one another, especially in the body of Christ, and to make sure they're okay. If you know somebody, let me apply this more directly to you at Mount Calvary. If you know somebody here at your church that hasn't been here for a while, it's not just the pastor's job, it's not just the elder's job to check up on them. If you know them, give them a call and let them know they're missed. You're demonstrating the kind of love that Jesus had for his mom on the cross. You're making sure they're okay. Okay, grace, and forgiveness. How else do we demonstrate that love that's been given to us in Christ? We cover people with grace. We cover people with grace. Have you ever noticed how we try to form and fit people into our own image? Try to make them into what we want them to be. It happens in marriages, it happens in schools, it happens on teams, it happens in churches. Oh, my friends, how important it is to cover people with grace. And what that means basically is to overlook faults, to overlook weaknesses and shortcomings, and to love people just the way they are. You can't change people around you. You can't do that. God is in the business of changing lives. We're in the business of loving lives. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's job to change people. So we cover people with grace. And then thirdly, okay, grace, and forgiveness. We bestow forgiveness to other people. And a lot of times people say, well, boy, that's pretty tough, Pastor Dave. Think about this. Think about the tremendous debt that we owe God because of our sin. The debt of a perfect life. We've heaped up sin after sin after sin. And God takes that huge debt and whoosh, throws it on the cross of his son. And he says, your debt is gone. Your sin is paid for. Your slate is clean. Your sins are forgiven. This huge debt. Now, somebody has a comparatively insignificant debt, sin they've committed against us. Are we willing to forgive it? When you compare that debt that God has forgiven us, yeah, that moves, motivates, and impels us to forgive the debts of others that have been inflicted upon us. So who is it in your life that you're carrying a grudge against, that you're harboring resentment against, that you're bitter towards? It's time to let it go. I love this definition of what it means to forgive. It means that you don't rehearse the hurt anymore. You don't rehearse the hurt with the person that offended you. You don't rehearse the hurt with people that you want to complain to about that person. And you don't rehearse the hurt in your mind. You let it go. That's what it means to forgive. So who is it in your life
that you need to forgive tonight. This is how we carry out love. Guided to Love is the name of the sermon tonight. The love of God in Jesus Christ has been manifested. And basically, I've said two things tonight. That oftentimes people look for the love of God in all the wrong places. It's only found at the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus. Let me say that again. People are looking for the love of God in all the wrong places. God never promised us, and I forgot to say this earlier, I'm going to say it now. God never promised us that simply because we believe in Him, contrary to what Joel Osteen says, simply because we believe in Him, everything in our life is not going to go well. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. And when things go wrong, we can't blame God. When things don't fall into place, we can't blame God, because God never promised us that everything would go well, that our relationships would be sound, that our bank account would be filled, that we'd never get sick, that we'd have no problems. We're looking for the love of God when we do that in all the wrong places. It's found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And how then do we manifest that love to others? Make sure folks around us are okay. We cover people with grace. And we forgive them from the heart. This is what it means to be guided by love. Amen?
Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, and the life everlasting. Amen.